This is
Good Morning Ottawa. This is The Goods with Dahlia Kurtz on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Ready?
We're live.
We clear?
It's showtime!
I want a girl with a mind like a diamond. I want a girl who knows what's best. With fingernails that shine like justice. And a voice that is dark like tinted glass. She is fast, thorough, and sharp as a tack.
Hello, good morning, I'm Dahlia, and still ahead on The Goods. Did you realize, did you think it was your imagination that your workday has felt longer since you've been working from home? A massive study has said this is not your imagination. You actually are working longer. How much longer? You're going to find that out. Also, what long-term care homes need right now to prevent more avoidable deaths, and before the end of the show, when it comes to love, there are some people who get overlooked, and it's not fair because we could learn so much about love from them. You can also weigh in online on the question on tipping, which I guess it's no longer tipping since it has now become a hospitality service fee. There are some restaurants that have banded together to get rid of tipping, yay, but then just rename it and enforce it. A hospitality service fee. How do you feel about that? We will continue to get to your thoughts throughout the show. Just tweet me at Dahlia Kurtz or join in on Facebook. Now, COVID-19 puts people with disabilities at a higher risk, but the provincial and federal governments may be putting them at even more risk. Doug Ford has actually said when it comes to people with disabilities that they should get a job. Get him a job is what he says. But is it that simple? Who's accommodating people who are disabled? I've introduced you to Mark Wafer before. And Mark, I've known him for years. He used to own several Tim Hortons franchises. And he did something very different. He had the best productivity. He had the highest profit margins. His shops were doing better than the rest in Canada. What, pray tell, did Mark Wafer do that was so different from all of the other franchise owners? He specifically set out to hire people with disabilities. He found that they worked harder. He found that they cared more. He found that they were the most loyal, with the least turnover, and the best productivity from all employees that he had hired. But now he's on a mission to get people to realize the same thing. It's not so easy, though, which makes it even more difficult for someone with a disability to get a job. Would you be allowed to keep your job, your seniority, and your benefits if you could only work 2 hours a day because your body got sore after that much physical activity? Or if you need your entire winter off because your depression is so bad? What if an office doesn't have an accessible washroom? Or you need a private office to reduce the noises that overwhelm you because you're autistic? And what if you need extensive dental care because employers don't want someone who has no teeth or bad teeth in their customer service job? Ontario Disability Support will cover some dental care, but most dentists refuse it because it doesn't pay. So people are struggling. In fact, many people with disabilities didn't even qualify for CERB and now have to rush to get this special form filled out, a DTC. But then to get this form filled out, many can't afford the fee that doctors charge. And this payment that they would get to is just a one-time payment of $600. So go ahead and apply for that one-time payment, but it's not guaranteed you'll be approved, and that's $600. And that $600 would be absolutely wonderful were it 1932. So just give everyone $600, whether they're on federal or provincial disability benefits. It shouldn't be this hard. Also, $600 is insulting, but I digress. And beyond that $600, where does the rest of your income come from? How do you get a job? What do you have to go through? And why is it that my next two guests are so grateful and so thankful, along with a lot of other people who have been supporting them online, hashtag ODSP poverty? Why are they so grateful and thankful to be on? Because nobody is giving them a voice. So let's give them a voice right now. We have two ODSP or ODS poverty advocates with us right now. We have Jessica. Good morning, Jessica.
Hi.
And we also have John Reddins. Hi, John.
How are you?
No, sir. How are you?
Could be better.
No kidding, right?
Yeah.
This has been something, I mean, before we even get into your needs and your awareness campaign, what you're doing it and why you're doing it, how long have you been trying to have your voice heard when it comes to Ontario disability support and your needs that have been going ignored, Jessica?
For quite some time, actually. I'm actually in my 30s, and I found in the earlier days, because of my age, I was sort of looked at differently because I was younger, and I have a condition that isn't visible, but it causes a lot of issues. But because of that, it did make it harder to qualify for different things or confirm my condition. So it's been years. I had to become underweight before they took it seriously, but by then I was so far gone, like I may never recover now.
You know what I even wonder is, in this fight to be heard, in this fight to get the support that the program itself says it does in the name Ontario Disability Support, the fight itself, beyond everything that you have to deal with in life when it comes to the pandemic, when it comes to finding a job, when it comes to dealing with whatever disabilities you have at hand, how difficult, draining is the fight itself, Jessica?
It was difficult and draining before the pandemic started. Right as March 11th happened with Ottawa's first cases, I had to completely lock down. Keep hearing on the news the stats of how seniors and disabled people and immunocompromised are most at risk, which when you're in that category, it's not a very great message from our government and authorities to basically be saying, well, we acknowledge you, but we acknowledge you might pass away.
And pretty much Doug Ford has said, to quote, get him a job.
Well, he painted the entire group of not just people on ODSP, but anyone dealing with a medical condition under the brush like we're scroungers or beggars. But he didn't even present any numbers. We actually ran a poll for 24 hours that was then backed up by the ODSP Action Coalition that only between 6 to 8% of people on ODSP were even working at the end of 2019. So this certain group of people who would be eligible for CERB and ODSP is not this large group of people he made it out to be.
If you're just joining, I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods, and we're having a conversation with two ODSP advocates, Jessica and John. John, when we talk about 6 to 8% of people on ODSP who were employed in 2019, this leaves a lot of people who aren't eligible for payments right now. How has it been for you?
Very frustrating right now. I'm lucky one of the ones that were employed, but the COVID-19 has left me unemployed because the fact that I've worked for two organizations that have sporting events and stadiums, so I'm not allowed to work. So it's hurting me financially. Right now, the ODSP payments are not sufficient enough. It's about 40% lower than the poverty line in Canada. So it's very, very, very frustrating the last few months trying to make things meet.
And so you have disabilities that preclude you from working. Each of you have disabilities that make things difficult, and especially with the pandemic and others and so many other factors at hand right now when it comes to our economy, when it comes to being immunocompromised. What do you have to live off of each month when it comes to the government support that you receive, Jessica?
Not even half of CERB, and this was the norm before the pandemic.
So how much money is this?
About $1,169.
For 1 month?
For 1 month.
How do you live off of $1,169 a month?
Scarcely. Very, very scarcely. And that's also not including medical necessities and now the need to be careful just trying to go out to get groceries.
So you have $1,169 a month to buy rent, to buy groceries, to take care of your medical needs, to take care of all of these extra needs that you might have and just to live.
Yeah.
John, is this the same for you?
I am in a higher bracket because I'm actually married, and the fact that and unfortunately I'm getting clawed back because my wife was in a car accident and they claw me back 100% whatever she gets from the insurance company. So I'm even making lesser.
So what we need to do here is, Jessica, you need to get married. John, you need to get divorced. This is what's going to help.
Unfortunately, though, because of like some of these comments like Ford, it almost makes people with disabilities like they can't find love because essentially someone would be signing on to our medical problems, having their income deducted. It not only isolates us from like being able to live, but even being able to live with the person you love.
Oh my God, Jessica, I'm going to go on a quest to find you someone to love right now. You've just, you know what? And it's really interesting that you brought that up because before the end of the show, that is actually the thing that I'm looking forward to is talking about people who are most ignored when it comes to love and the real love that we can learn from them. So it's just interesting that you brought that up right now. But I don't want to go too far off on a Dahlia aggression here because this is actually very serious. When we're looking at the way that the world is right now and tensions are very high and we're very quick to call out people, thankfully, for things that they're doing that are wrong because people don't want to let anybody get away with racism. People don't want to let people get away with any sort of discrimination. But there's something that everybody seems to be ignoring, and that seems to be how disabled people are being treated very unfairly and very poorly. And I think that part of it is because people just don't seem to see. How do you feel about this, Jessica?
I feel the people in charge, like, it almost is as if I'm and the people in our community are being punished because we're surviving our illnesses. Like, even with the disability tax credit being what you need to get this $600, which isn't even $100 per month because they pushed it to the fall now, to get the disability tax credit, you have to be disabled to a certain level. So it's almost putting a line in the sand between who's more sick than the other, which it's not fair because we're all dealing with our own issues.
We live in a culture that seems to value suffering. And you're being forced to suffer in order to be given any value.
It tends to be the news covers when someone overcomes a great obstacle, it's on the news. Or if something terrible happens, it's on the news. But just people trying to get through their day-to-days before the pandemic were just not seen.
What do you need from Doug Ford right now? I'm going to give each of you the opportunity to answer that question. Think about it, John. Think about it, Jessica. I'm sure you think about it constantly. We're going to continue this chat with John and Jessica, two ODSP advocates, coming up next right here on The Goods. I'm Dahlia. This is 580 CFRA.
You're listening to The Goods with Dahlia Kurtz on News Talk 580 CFRA.
I don't understand one word in that song. Not one single word. I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods. That song is called Roses. Why have I turned into a music host today? But actually, the more important topic at hand, other than trying to figure out why, because we'll never figure me out, are these two guests I have with me right now, Jessica and John. They're ODSP advocates. Ontario Disability Support Program is failing them. And Doug Ford's answer is to get him a job. But it doesn't work that way. Because one, people don't necessarily want to give those with disabilities jobs. It's very difficult. If you think it's hard for you to find a job, imagine what it's like if you have disabilities on top of that and people's fear of them, even though actual practical studies have shown that people with disabilities are typically the more productive and more loyal employees. But aside from the fact that they can't find work and they're being told to get a job and that many people have immunocompromised systems, the pay that they're getting, the support that they're getting, and how they have to go about getting their support is rife with challenges and inadequacies. So I've asked Jessica and John each to think about these main things that they want from Doug Ford. What can he do? What can he actually do instead of saying get him a job that would make a difference for them? Jessica, what would help you?
I think I actually have 3 points, if that's okay.
Go for it.
First of all, I really think Doug Ford needs to do a formal apology to the entire disabled community, because the last day since that press conference, it has been so sad looking over the Twitter threads and seeing so many people who are just hanging on by a thread, just broken with nothing to hang on to. Because if the authorities are telling you, you don't matter, just get a job, and getting a job could mean loss of your health or getting COVID, what are we left with then? So I think he owes the disabled community a formal apology on video. I think he needs to advocate that he empathizes with us, consider matching ODSP to match CERB, since that was a government-mandated statement that $2,000 is what an average adult needs to survive, not including our medical necessities, grocery delivery, transportation costs, now pandemic supplies to make sure we don't catch COVID. And I also would really appreciate him to, rather than dodge the subject, answer why he canceled the $100 a month that wasn't even formally announced to ODSP recipients. Many were not able to qualify for it because they didn't know it existed. And they found out right as it was ending when it was too late. So I'm sorry to go on a bit, but those would be my 3 points.
Oh, you're not the one who needs to apologize here. I think you already clarified the one who needs to apologize here. John, what about you? What do you want from Doug Ford, sir?
Three things. First, like Jessica said, an apology. Secondly, reinstatement of the guaranteed income pilot project. We're spending more money now on lawyers than how much it would have cost to run the temporary program. And thirdly, if he can give his bureaucrats a substantial raise increase when he came into office, he can substantially give people with disabilities an increase in their payments, as well as the monthly statement of the COVID-19 epidemic. We were given $100 per person or $200 per family and a rate increase monthly for the last 3 months. But like Jessica said, the awareness for some people wasn't visible. I've seen it all across the province that hardly nobody knew about this.
And we were also encouraged to go on to the online version of receiving our statements, so any paperwork that would have been mailed to us wasn't mailed.
That's very true.
Last question for each of you as we're up against the news. And it's typically a question that you avoid on radio because it doesn't really have much meaning or substance to it. But I think in this context, it has the most substance and most meaning, probably more than any other question. Jessica, how are you? How are you?
I am incredibly stressed. I am grateful I have the family I have and the love I have in my life for my family. But we're in incredibly hard times, and this is Canada. Like, do better, be better. That's all I want.
John, how are you?
I have my days. I get really frustrated when I hear comments very negative about people with disabilities. And that's why I got involved starting in back in 2011. I was just getting tired of the continuous bashing that we're taking. I didn't see it until I became disabled, and it frustrates the hell out of me.
What's more difficult? Being disabled or being treated differently?
Being treated differently.
Jessica?
I think I have to say being treated differently, because I've had my condition for 10 years now, and as long as I had my family, I got through it. I got through some incredibly hard times, but having it been basically getting slapped in the face for surviving a condition, I just don't understand where that comes from, especially in these times when we're all dealing with things. This is when we should be most empathetic of what we're all going through. We're supposed to be in this together.
Can I tell you each something? I got a message for each of you from a listener while you were talking to me. And Jessica, the message for you is, this woman is a hero. And John, the message for you is, this man is in my heart.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you too. And I want you to keep me posted. I'm going to keep checking in. I'm going to give you the link to this. We'll make sure that Doug Ford gets this link as well. They want a formal apology from Doug Ford to the disabled community. They want it on video. They also want some help, because it's more difficult being treated differently than it is living with their disability. That is Jessica and John, hashtag ODS poverty. Advocates. Still ahead, I do see that somebody else has called in about ODSP. We're going to get to that, because no voice should go unheard. And it's not your imagination. A study finds your workday is longer now that you're working from home. How much longer and why? All coming up right here on The Goods. I'm Dahlia. This is 580 CFRA.
Now back to The Goods with Dahlia Kurtz on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Hello, good morning, a happy Sunday to you. I'm Dahlia, and still ahead, your workday is actually longer now that you're working from home. How much longer? Well, a massive study has found it is. You'll find out how much longer just ahead. But I was just having a conversation with John and Jessica. They are Ontario Disability Support Advocates. And each of them just said the saddest thing to me when I asked, what's more difficult? The disability that you're dealing with, or how you're treated because of it and treated by the government, or mistreated, as it were? And not just the government, but the employment system too, how it works. And both of them said very thoughtfully that it's how they're treated. Jessica has to live off of $1,169 a month, while Doug Ford says go out and get a job. $1,169 a month. She has to pay for medical expenses. She has to pay heightened costs for precautionary measures, especially during the pandemic. Immunosuppressed. Transportation is more difficult. You try taking paratranspo. I remember when Kyle was sitting right here in my studio in his wheelchair, in tears, saying to the mayor that he felt as though he were treated as a second-class citizen because a 10-minute trip could take 8 hours with paratranspo. It's not just in ODSP. It's right across the board. dealing with the disabilities and the disadvantages that many people live with, it is unfathomable to me that instead of honoring them for pushing through quite often more than an average person, but you just don't see it because it doesn't come off as a spectacular achievement to you. Instead of honoring them for pushing through and putting in more effort than many people just to get by, they get punished with $1,169 a month. So they want a formal apology from Doug Ford, and they also want the system to be better. They need adequate pay to get by, adequate support, instead of words that just say from the mouth of Doug Ford, get him a job. I'm Dahlia, this is The Goods, and Tyler has called in to 613-521-8255. And I know, Tyler, that you've been tweeting at me for a little bit too, because you're very passionate about ODSP advocacy as well.
Hi, Dahlia. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I would like to say thank you so much for bringing this topic to the attention of the, like, as a media personality, because local media and national media are not even touching the topic. We're not getting representation in the media. And Doug Ford's recent comments that ODSP recipients are somehow double-dipping and earning more money than they ever had has left many people very misinformed. And I have a very strong opinion about the comments that he made about recently taking away that $100 emergency assistance benefit for people living with disabilities. I've written a letter to the editor of the Toronto Star. I've written the same letter, and I've sent it to the editor of the Globe and Mail and to my local MPs, Suze Morrison and Kristen Wong Tam. And I would like the opportunity to share that letter with your listeners.
You know what? I will give you that opportunity now. And I know that my next guest can hear this. So, Jay, you'll need to wait a little bit. My apologies. But I think that Tyler has been waiting what probably feels like an eternity to share his message. So, Tyler, go ahead. It's now The Goods with Tyler Ennis. Share your voice, sir.
Thank you, Dahlia. My name is Tyler Ennis. I am an ODSP recipient, and I am currently an inpatient at the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. I've been here since July 9th, 2020. For the past 3 years, I have been battling an aggressive form of Hodgkin's lymphoma. My treatment has taken up the majority of my life since I was diagnosed. Countless rounds of chemotherapy, countless days of recovery from my chemotherapy treatments, follow-up appointments, post-chemotherapy treatments, blood work follow-up appointments, CAT scans, CAT scan follow-up appointments. One second. Sorry.
Take your time.
Yeah. Here we go. CAT scans, CAT scan follow-up appointments. PET scans, PET scan follow-up appointments. MRI scans, MRI scan follow-up appointments. Multiple trips to the emergency when I've spiked a fever. Multiple trips to the pharmacy to pick up necessary medication. An autologous stem cell transplant last year in Ottawa that took 5 weeks. Recovery time and follow-up appointments, appointments to be revaccinated post-transplant, an allogeneic stem cell transplant at Princess Margaret Hospital, where I currently am residing. I'm sitting here right now in a hospital bed. The months of follow-up appointments and blood work that I will need, that will need to be done in my future, and so on and so on and so on. To be quite frank, it has consumed my life, decimated my immune system, leaving me highly immunocompromised. Doctors have been very specific with me when I've asked about reentering the workforce, that it is recommended in my personal case, not at least for the next 2 years. I consider myself fortunate to receive additional ODSP benefit due to dietary restrictions that my disease/disability has inflicted upon me. Instead of the average $1,169 per month, I receive $1,419 per month. I am also fortunate to be living in a modest-sized bachelor apartment downtown with rent still under $1,000 a month. I have lived in the same apartment for over 8 years. When you have a living space in Toronto that costs under $1,000 a month, you simply do not give it up. There is no affordable accommodation or subsidized housing available in our great city anywhere. I currently pay $933.16, but my rent will be going up in November to $956.30. The same style bachelor apartment in my apartment complex currently rents for $1,350. From $1,419, take away my rent of $956.30, subtract Wi-Fi of $50 per month, hydro of approximately $35 per month, and my cell phone bill of $64 per month, leaves me $313 per month to purchase a month's worth of fresh produce and high-protein sources. I am not allowed to purchase items from bulk stores due to increased risk of contamination. I have to pay for Uber transportation if I need to travel further than walking distance because doctors have forbidden me to use public transportation. And any basics of life that any average working Canadian would normally be able to afford. Haircuts, clothing budget, social normative activities. There is no clothing allowance in the ODSP program. I can assure you, with the current cost of living in Toronto, $313 does not go very far. I live a very simple and modest life. However, with another increase next year, with another rent increase next year, I do not know how long I can afford to live where I currently reside. This is stress that I do not need as I recover from a life-saving bone marrow stem cell transplant that I received on July 15th. Please note, in 2019, Doug Ford stopped all funding to stem cell research in Ontario. This research is fundamental to make advances in the science that has helped save my life. Shame on him. When I recently saw the clip of Doug Ford being questioned about taking away the monthly ODSP pittance of $100 per month emergency pandemic funding, his response left me seething. In one swoop, he categorized ODSP recipients as double dippers who were actually banking more money than they'd ever received. Only 8% of ODSP recipients have part-time or other jobs. Only 8%. I can assure you, Doug Ford, that the vast majority of ODSP recipients is certainly not the case, and it is insulting to be accused of such behavior. He then goes on to say that the best way to help people on Ontario Works and ODSP, if they're healthy and able to work, get them a job. Little sigh. Again, Doug Ford has missed the point completely. The point is that the majority of people on ODSP are not healthy enough to work. The part about being disabled, that part. Sadly, my case is not a rare case. Hundreds of thousands, if not more, of Ontario citizens suffer with compromised immune systems. We have immune systems so compromised that being in public spaces puts our overall lives at risk. I have personal experience of picking up an infection post-autologous stem cell transplant that traveled through my central nervous system, put pressure on my spine, and caused irreversible damage resulting in severe numbness from below my knees to the bottom of my feet, affecting my mobility permanently. Not to mention how difficult it is to find employment that will be flexible enough with all of the appointments I listed earlier. Ignorant is an understatement when the only solution he can provide is get him a job. Not to mention the slap in the face it is to have a $100 per month pandemic emergency fund taken away when Doug Ford goes ahead and gives a $500 million loan to the Ontario Lottery Gaming Commission. Give me a freaking break. Facts are facts. ODSP funding needs to be increased across the board in Ontario to reflect the cost of living and high rental costs. If taxpayers are concerned that recipients will use that extra money for illicit activities, I, like many, would be happy to receive a $200 plus monthly gift card to any major grocery outlet on top of the funding I currently receive. Facts are facts. In the past 6 years, the average ODSP payout has risen from $1,030 to only $1,169. Facts are facts. The overwhelming majority of people with disabilities in Ontario are not taking advantage of the system and are too ill or physically challenged to get them a job. Facts are facts. The Canadian federal government determined that the minimum livable income for the average Canadian through the CERB program is $2,000 per month. I guess people with disabilities in Ontario are not considered equal in value to their able-bodied counterparts. I only wish that I had $2,000 a month to live off of. It would certainly make living life with a disability much, much more tolerable. Shame on Doug Ford for taking away the $100 per month emergency pandemic from people living with disabilities who struggle each month to make ends meet. Absolutely ignorant, ableist, and discriminatory behavior. Not to mention, what I'd also like to add to this letter is this life-changing stem cell transplant that I had, taxpayers, and I'm a taxpayer as well, but taxpayers have already invested in my care, right? I had fresh stem cells flown from Europe. I don't know anything about my donor, but I know they were flown from Europe, and they were couriered to me. And that was at the cost of the taxpayer, right? This has saved my life. This transplant is going to give me a full-term cancer-free life. And I'm so fortunate. The care here at Princess Margaret has just been so exceptional. And I'm so grateful that I now have a second lease on life. My niece is only 4 years old, but my goal is to get to her wedding. And I am going to be present. I will be there because of this life-saving transplant. So because the taxpayers, they've already invested in this, why would Doug Ford say, just go get a job? I can't just go get a job. It will put all of the work and all of the money that has been invested in my care in jeopardy. It doesn't make sense to say that. It doesn't make sense to do so.
And Tyler, listen, I hear your struggle and your pain is... I feel it. And I think that many people feel it too. So what we're going to do with this that you just gave us is I'm going to make you a special link. I'm going to make you a special audio clip of this with the help, of course, of my two guys working with me, Stephen Ellsworth and Corey Price. You're going to be able to share this. You're going to share this with Doug Ford. You'll tweet at him and he'll for sure be able to see this. It will be in his view, and we will make sure the message gets out there as well. You keep me posted, and I'm glad that we were able to give you a voice. I think that you've expressed yourself fully and clearly, and I ask that you keep me posted, okay?
Thank you, Dahlia. It's so important to have representation through the media, and you're the only person who is touching it. And it really means so much to our community. And there are advocates out there. I would like to name just a couple, Isabella Gamick and Sarah Calero, who are doing so many great things in Toronto. And I just want to say thank you very much for the opportunity to share my story on your show.
My pleasure. I want to see you at your niece's wedding, too. I'm sure that her parents don't want to talk about that now that she's only 4 years old. But I know that you will get there. All right, Tyler, we will stay in touch. You'll keep me posted. Thank you for sharing your very passionate message. And I wish you the best day that you could possibly have at the Princess Margaret.
Thank you very much. I'm getting discharged on Tuesday. I'm going into another facility until the end of September, and then I finally get to be able to live independently again in October.
All my best. You're already an independent spirit. We feel that. I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods. Up next, how much more are you working a day now that you're working from home? Because apparently a massive study has discovered that number. We're going to get to that. Also, you're going to find out what long-term care homes need right now to prevent more avoidable deaths. This is Doug Ford Day on The Goods, isn't it? of Dahlia. This is 580 CFRA.